Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mark Levinson's The Box examines how a simple steel shipping container became a hidden engine of modern globalization. Rather than treating containerization as a mere technical upgrade, the book shows it as a system change that reshaped ports, shipping firms, railroads, trucking, manufacturing strategy, and even the geography of cities. Levinson traces how innovators and companies pushed for standardized boxes, how regulators and labor groups responded, and how the costs and risks of moving goods fell dramatically once cargo could travel sealed from factory to ship to train to truck. The second edition adds updated perspective on how container shipping evolved after its early breakthroughs, including the rise of megaships, new logistics practices, and the growing importance of Asian manufacturing networks. Written as business and economic history, the book connects seemingly mundane details like crane design, port layouts, and rate structures to major outcomes, cheaper consumer goods, longer supply chains, and a world economy organized around fast, predictable movement of freight. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the pre-container world and the high cost of moving goods. The book begins by making clear why the old way of shipping cargo mattered so much. Before containers, most general cargo moved as break bulk freight. Individual crates, sacks, barrels, and pallets that had to be handled repeatedly at docks and aboard ships. That work was slow, damage-prone, and expensive, with schedules often dictated by labor availability, weather, and congestion at crowded waterfront piers. Levinson emphasizes that transportation cost is not just the price of ocean passage. It includes time, insurance, inventory tied up in transit, pilferage, paperwork, and the uncertainty that forces businesses to build buffers into their plans. In this setting, international trade could grow, but it faced friction at every handoff. Ports were labor-intensive ecosystems with entrenched practices, and shipping lines competed in a world where reliability was limited and port stays could be long. By laying out these constraints, the book sets up containerization as a discontinuity rather than an incremental improvement. The key insight is that reducing handling and uncertainty changes which goods can be traded, where factories can be located, and how companies can coordinate production. Containerization attacked the entire cost structure, especially the hidden costs, and that is why its economic impact was so large. Secondly, innovation, standardization, and the birth of an intermodal system, a central theme is that the container's power came from compatibility across modes, not from the steel box alone. Levinson describes how early container concepts competed until standard sizes and fittings allowed containers to be lifted, stacked, secured, and transferred smoothly between ship, rail, and truck. This required agreement on dimensions, corner castings, and handling methods, plus investments in specialized ships and port equipment. The container forced redesign of vessels from general cargo ships, with complex holds to purpose, built container ships optimized for speed, stability, and quick port turnaround. Equally important was intermodal thinking. The same sealed unit could move through multiple carriers without being opened, reducing inspections and manual sorting. The book highlights the practical engineering and managerial decisions behind this transformation, including how companies justified capital spending by betting on volume growth and faster asset utilization. Standardization also had competitive implications. It lowered barriers for shippers to switch carriers and encouraged scale, since larger fleets and bigger ships could spread fixed costs. The result was a logistics platform that could be replicated globally, enabling trade lanes to expand beyond traditional hubs and making freight movement more predictable for manufacturers and retailers. Thirdly, ports, labor, and the geographic reshaping of cities and coastlines, containerization did not simply make ports more efficient, it reorganized them. Levinson shows that containers demanded deep water berths, vast container yards, high-capacity cranes, and road and rail access designed for rapid throughput rather than dense waterfront warehousing. Many old city center docks became obsolete, and cargo activity migrated to new terminals with space for stacking and intermodal transfers. This shift altered local economies, real estate patterns, and employment. Longshore work changed dramatically because fewer people were needed to move more cargo, intensifying labor disputes and accelerating negotiations over job protections, work rules, and mechanization. The book treats these conflicts as part of the economics of change. Savings from containers could not be realized without reorganizing labor practices and port governance. There were also political and planning battles over who paid for infrastructure and who benefited from it. As ports expanded outward, cities repurposed former waterfront industrial zones for housing, offices, and recreation, while new logistics corridors grew around highways and rail ramps. The broader implication is that technology can reorder urban geography. What once made a waterfront valuable for commerce changed, and the winners were regions that invested in container-ready terminals and connected them to inland distribution networks. Fourthly, business strategy, regulation, and the rise of global shipping networks, Levinson links containerization to shifts in corporate strategy and industry structure. Shipping lines that embraced containerization had to finance costly ships and equipment, coordinate with ports, and persuade customers that reliability would improve. These investments encouraged consolidation and alliances, since scale and network coverage became crucial advantages. The book also discusses how regulation and cartel-like rate-setting practices shaped competition and sometimes slowed adaptation, while deregulation and policy changes opened space for new entrants and new pricing models. Containerization altered the balance among carriers, freight forwarders, railroads, and trucking companies, creating integrated door-to-door services where logistics coordination became as important as the ocean leg. As services became more standardized, the industry shifted toward hub and spoke patterns, transshipment, and global schedules designed for equipment utilization. Reliability and frequency mattered because shippers could plan production and inventory around them. The container also changed bargaining power. Large retailers and manufacturers could leverage volume to negotiate rates and demand visibility, which pushed carriers toward more sophisticated planning and, eventually, digital tracking. The topic illustrates a broader economic lesson. Productivity improvements often require organizational change, regulatory adaptation, and new forms of coordination, not just better hardware. Lastly, supply chains, globalization, and the modern economy in the second edition view, the book argues that containerization helped make long-distance manufacturing and just-in-time logistics practical by slashing door-to-door transport costs and improving predictability. When shipping became cheaper and more reliable, firms could separate design, component production, assembly, and distribution across continents, choosing locations based on labor, specialization, and market access rather than proximity. Levinson connects this to the rise of export-oriented industrialization, particularly in Asia, and to the expansion of global retailing built on fast replenishment and high inventory turnover. The second edition perspective underscores that the container system continued evolving. Ships grew larger, terminal automation expanded, and logistics management became more data-driven. At the same time, new vulnerabilities became apparent, including dependence on a small number of megaports, tight schedules that amplify disruptions, and geopolitical or regulatory shocks that can reverberate across networks. By framing globalization as a physical and operational achievement, as well as a policy story, Levinson shows why supply chains are both powerful and fragile. The container is presented as an enabling technology that quietly changed everyday life, from the variety of goods available to the structure of employment, while also creating a world economy that is highly interconnected and therefore sensitive to breakdowns. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand globalization as a practical system rather than an abstract slogan. Business leaders, logistics professionals, policy students, historians, and curious consumers will all find value because the narrative explains how decisions about standards, infrastructure, labor relations, and regulation translated into lower prices and wider product choice. The biggest benefit is perspective. Readers learn to see supply chains as designed networks with trade-offs, where time, reliability, and handling matter as much as distance. That mindset can improve real-life decision-making, whether evaluating sourcing options, analyzing economic news, or planning investments tied to transportation and infrastructure. The box is worth buying compared with many globalization or shipping overviews because it anchors big outcomes in specific mechanisms. It shows how port layouts, cranes, vessel design, rate structures, and intermodal coordination produce measurable change in cost and speed. The second edition is especially useful for readers who want the core origin story, plus an updated view of how container shipping matured into a backbone of modern commerce. It is an accessible economic history that remains highly relevant to today's debates about resilience, reshoring, and the risks of tightly coupled global networks. If you would like to support Mark Levinson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.